is Sarah Ramson. Welcome to the Chess Girl CC podcast. Chess Girl CC is a nonprofit organization that aims to build the confidence of girls using chess as a tool. In this podcast, we bring in guest speakers from all walks of life to talk about how skills gained from playing chess are instrumental, not only in becoming a better chess player, but in lifelong endeavors beyond the game. My co-host is Fiona Lamb. Fiona is a former competitive chess player and a junior chess champion. She's a two-time national girls 16 and under champion and a five-time Maryland girls champion. She represented the U.S. at the North American Youth Championship, where she took third place in girls under 16. Fiona went on to study at MIT, where she graduated in 2017. Today, she works at an investment firm in Washington, D.C.
And now we would like to introduce our special guest, Lisa Cohen. Lisa is a boxing world champion. She won the IFBA Junior Featherweight World title, and she competed under the name Lisa Too Fierce Foster. In 2000, while seeking the world title, she established and ran Too Fierce Boxing and Fitness in her hometown of Washington, D.C. In 2006, she started Capital City Champs, a nonprofit for at-risk children, geared to boxing and fitness training, life skills coaching, dressing for success, and etiquette. In 2019, Lisa was inducted into the Washington, D.C. Boxing Hall of Fame. Today, we're having a conversation about Lisa's journey and the skills that made her successful and a trailblazer, which are similar to the skills that you learn from playing chess. Lisa, we are so delighted to have you here today.
Thank you so much for having me. I am completely delighted to be here.
Aw, so are we. Alrighty, so now Sarah will ask the first question.
You came from very humble beginnings. Tell us a bit about your childhood.
That's a very good question. Thank you for asking that. I was born right here in Washington, D.C. In 1968, actually. That was a long time ago. And during that time, the civil rights movement was going on, and D.C. was in pretty much a turmoil. In my family, we were very, very poor, and my family literally broke up. Like, I went from being in the hospital, being born, to going to an orphanage. So I grew up in foster care from the orphanage and going straight through foster care. So those are my humble beginnings. But I would say this, I've learned a lot in my journey to my success here. And I am very humbled by everything that has happened in my life up to this point. And I'm very proud to be on your show, Sarah, and to meet Fiona. So thank you again for having me.
We are very excited to have you here. So after your humble beginnings, you went to the Navy. The Navy is a very male-dominated field, even today. You broke into a field where there weren't a majority of people like you. What gave you the motivation and strength to break in?
Joining the Navy for me was really an honor. First, because it gave me my emancipation into the real world. Going into the Navy, as it is a male-dominated field, you know, in engineering, as a matter of fact, I was an electrician. And yeah, I did meet some challenges there. But, you know, as always, you know, there are ways to get around those just through education. And I just tried to educate myself to get up to the next level. You know, I stayed in for 3 years and came out, and I feel like I was a better person for having done it.
That's so cool. Tell us a little bit about your role in the Navy. Did you encounter obstacles as a woman, and how did you overcome them?
My role in the Navy was to really establish a career for myself. The obstacle with going into the Navy is actually at first because I had been in ROTC in high school and in college. I was in Army ROTC. And so going down and taking the tests at the MEPS and everything, I had a little hiccup, and the hiccup was that I had done a little bit too well on the exam the second time that I had done on the first time. And I had taken the exam in the 11th grade. And so when I went back and took the exam, when I had graduated, my score was much higher than it was when I'd taken it in 11th grade. And there a question arose whether I had cheated or not. And so I had to spend the night at the MEPS and retake the text the next day. And I got like the exact same score. But there was a situation that came up with a male recruiter that I had who left me there because he did not, I guess, didn't believe in me or whatever. So a Navy recruiter came up to me and said, "Look, do you need some help? I saw what happened to you. You know, why don't you come into the Navy?" And I actually ended up in the Navy by a fluke. And so I really truly think that it was where I was supposed to be. I think that everything happens for a reason. So I took it as a positive.
Well, the Navy was very lucky to have you. That's amazing.
Yeah. Growing up in becoming an electrician in that field, too, was very, you know, was very male dominated. So the men just did not want you in the engine room or in the EVAPs, you know, and it was like, here I am.
It's like the movie Hidden Figures where the three. Well, one of the black women, one of the three black women goes into the Caucasian side of the NASA program, and she's in there by herself, and then the Caucasian people come back in, and they're like, "What are you doing in here? You're not supposed to be in here." And then she walks out and they're like, "Oh my gosh, she actually fixed it."
Exactly. Well, trust me when I tell you that the obstacles, it wasn't anything that I wasn't used to, but the obstacles in the Navy weren't nearly as difficult as the ones that I had growing up in foster care. So I just took it with stride.
Now let's go to boxing, another male-dominated field, where you're a former world champion. You won the International Female Boxing Association Junior Featherweight World Title. How did you get introduced to boxing, and where did you get that fire in you to pursue it?
Oh, then this is a very easy question and one that I really love to answer. I have loved boxing since I was a little girl, and I have four brothers, and growing up, we would watch Muhammad Ali on television. And watching Muhammad Ali for me was like, you know, he was the most flamboyant, most, you know, amazing person that I had ever seen in my life. And my brother had actually, middle brother had actually been the real boxing fan. And when I saw him and we would mimic the way that Ali would fight with doing the shuffle and the movements and so forth. And so I always had felt, and I think I was about 8 years old when this was happening. And I always felt like I could be a boxer if I wanted to, you know, all I would have to be given is the chance. Well, at 28 years old, I saw two women boxing on TV, Christy Martin, who is the coal miner's daughter, and Bethany Payne, which was a newcomer. And Christy Martin completely dominated Bethany Payne. It was the first ever women's televised boxing match. And Don King, he was the promoter for that fight on the Mike Tyson undercard, the young Mike Tyson. And everybody was watching. And when I saw that, that was like, you know, that's what I'm supposed to do. My children were 4 and 6 years old. They were already in school. And so it was like, now it's time for me to do me. And it was it was on from there.
That's really inspiring. It's sort of like, you know, like how you watched Muhammad Ali and other people on TV, and you're, and you know, sometimes you watch these people on TV, like I'll watch, you know, some good chess players on TV, and you never think you could be one of them sometimes. Like, you just don't feel like you could be there, but you actually can. And I think it's amazing that you also started, you know, professionally at 28, and you had, you know, children, and, you know, you can still pursue this. I think, you know, it's just so inspiring. You know, I think for a lot of people, they can look at it and just never think it's possible. So
yeah, you're right, Fiona. It was clearly something that I felt in my gut that I could do. I had no idea that it was going to all work out the way that it did. But I just, like, literally when I went into my first boxing gym, I said, I'm going to win a world title. And that's what I'm setting out to do. Now, no one else, these men in the gym, no, they did not believe it. They were like, how are you going to come in here and do that? It's not even, you know. And I went to the first women's national championship after only one fight. And that was an amateur fight. And so my second amateur fight, which I fought there, I made it to the quarterfinals and lost. But that loss to such a wonderful boxer with only one fight under my belt. And it was, and I think a lot of times it's not the fact that you may lose the fight, it's how you lose and your attitude about the loss. And so I felt, I was upset because I, you know, didn't win a national champion. It was the first ever women's national champions. I wanted to be that person. But I also knew that I was 27 at the time and it was time for me to turn pro and set out for what I really was sitting out to do. So that's how that came about.
Yeah, that's incredible. And I see also similarly in chess, you know, it's really the games sometimes that you lose where you really learn and actually become more confident from those, because after you lose a game, you kind of improve yourself, right? And you learn from it, and then you come back from it, and then that gives you the confidence that you can do it again, right? And so I think I remember I was in a national championship and I started off playing really badly, and it was really like my ability to put that behind me and really still feel that the determination to play well in the rest of the tournament that really gave me kind of the fire
to I can totally going. Relate to that.
I'm going to draw some parallels of boxing to chess for our listeners. In chess, you have to set your goals and commit to pursuing them to see results, whether it's during a match or longer-term goals. Tell us a bit about the goals you set for yourself when you were competing in boxing. How did you stay committed to your goals?
Oh, wow. Oh, Sarah, that is really a good question. Like I said, I started boxing at 28. And the true measure of it was I said to myself, look, Lisa, it's now or never, because I didn't want to be that person that looked at myself at 40 years old and said, oh, my God, I could have done this. I should have stayed the course. And so when I first got into boxing, no one wanted to really train me or teach me too much. I was lucky enough just through my own determination and, you know, learning by watching other people to get a trainer who believed in me. And from there, I was able to kind of just stay focused. Now, the difficulty in the thing was there weren't many women. First of all, there were no women in DC for me to spar with. And sparring is just like getting, you know, those practice games that you would play to prepare yourself. And the idea is to spar with people who are better than you so that you can get to their level and above. You know, the idea is you don't want to play down. You want to play up. So I sparred with men. And I truly think that that is the reason why I got to the level that I did so quickly, because I had to answer the skill level of those male counterparts that I was working with. So yeah, it was really crucial at that time for me to work with the right people, play up in my game, and not be afraid to come back. I know that you have the same, you know, thing with chess where you have to literally, and Eli, I'll say this, most boxers have, if you have any trainer, they'll say, you know what? It's like playing chess. The way that they put it to you, they say, it's like playing chess. You have to plan your next move. So if I'm putting together, if I see that you're dropping your right hand and I put together a combination of punches to get you to drop your right hand again, I'm going to follow with a punch that can really hurt your game. So that would be the same sort of thing. I'm sure, I don't know how to play chess. I sure would love to learn someday, Sarah. But that would be the sort of thing that you do. You prepare yourself to get to the next move in the next round. Each round is its own separate round. So I'm looking at it like each move is its own isolated move, as in chess.
That's true. And also, it's like if you're in a tournament, if you win a game, you're all pumped up. You're like, yes, 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 I won. But then you have the next round and then you lose the game. You have to sort of take your mind out of that state and say, okay, well, I have another game. Let me just focus on this new game. It's a new game. It's a new round. Put everything else out of my mind. Let's just focus on this.
Exactly. Exactly. Like each round, because you may have seen a fight before, a boxing match before, where you see someone completely losing and they come in and knock a person out. And it's like, whoa, how did that happen? I mean, it happens so often that you wonder, is this for real? But yes, it is, because the game is literally centered around your makeup, who you are inside, and whether you can stand that next move. It's about endurance.
Yeah, that's incredible. It's like, I don't know a lot about boxing either, but it's just like the endurance you must need to have to last through so many rounds. And, you know, sometimes you'll be down, right? Like, you know, you're looking at the points, right? You know, maybe you're down, kind of like chess, you know, your position's worse and maybe you're not winning, but you have to keep that optimism, right? And that's how you keep finding opportunity, because you believe that you can still win.
It's exactly the same.
So tell us about the training. What was your day-to-day like?
I always tell people who come to me, because I train people in boxing to like now. And what I would tell people is this. Don't fall in love with boxing, because it is not nice. It's not for the faint of heart. Fall in love with the training. When you fall in love with the training, you always push to get to the next level. You're always pushing. And I think with not having that anxiety from, am I going to get knocked out? I don't want to get hurt. Da, da, da. And because you're training, that's what really pushes you. You show yourself what you can do in your training. So I absolutely love training. I love the training now. And I think that I'm always building. I'm 52 years old now, but I would say, you know, when I was in my 30s back then, it feels exactly the same. I'm feeling like I'm getting that same energy, that same surge. And I really don't feel like I've aged much because of it.
That's amazing. You certainly look so young for your age, Lisa. So, yeah.
Thank you.
In chess, no matter how great of a player you are, there are always setbacks, and it's not an easy road. Did you face any setbacks on your road to winning a world title, and how did you build the stamina to keep fighting?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I didn't have a manager. I managed myself, and I didn't have a promoter either. I had good friends who believed in me and, you know, came along for the ride and helped me at certain moments in my career. But the roadblocks came when... I think the roadblocks truly come when you feel like you don't have the support that you need. I fought in Glen Burnie one year, and this was a very difficult time for me, because I was transitioning between trainers, and I was starting to feel a certain amount of unsure, you know, I was feeling unsure about myself and about my trainer and so forth. And I think the nail in the coffin was when we went to Glen Burnie to a boxing match, where he literally got upset with me in the dressing room for speaking up for something that I did not want. And that's difficult sometimes for trainers, you know, who are traditional trainers who are used to getting exactly what they want in, you know, from there. But I feel like when it's my neck on the line, I have to make the decisions that's right for myself. So the setback was that he left me. I had no one in the ring with me. And I was so lucky that there were people there who knew me and knew my ability that said, "Lisa, I'll work your corner." These were trainers that had other boxers. And this particular trainer had the actual main eventer. He was like the lead trainer there. And he said, "I'll work your corner. I got you." And I went and he worked my corner. And I was the underdog for that night, actually. And it made me feel like not only I felt like my trainer that went with me didn't believe in me. And that is why he made that, you know, that gesture of leaving me there. And so, yeah, our relationship was over at that point. But what it did do was it taught me that I always get a positive out of all of it. What it taught me is that, Lisa, you can do it yourself. You don't need to cry. And I ended up getting a draw, winning, you know, I didn't win the fight, neither. It was a draw. The boxing match was called a draw. But I do believe that if I had a strong corner, I would have literally won the fight. Mentally, I was set back because my trainer had left. And, but at the same time, I was just as motivated to have the boxing match anyway and say, "I'm going to do this anyway," despite the fact that he got back on the road and left me there.
That's very inspiring.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're so strong. I don't know how many, like if my manager left me before my match, I don't know. I would lose all my focus. It would just hurt.
There was actually another instance where when I went to Germany to fight in a title fight, and I flew all the way to Germany and my trainer did not show up. And it just so happened that I knew somebody there in Germany that knew me and worked my corner, and you know, and it just worked out. It worked out well.
That was very lucky indeed.
Thank you.
Yeah, and it really speaks to, you know, the support system is so important. Just to have a network of people around you who believe in you.
Absolutely.
Like chess and boxing, you train and compete in a mostly male-dominated world. What was your experience as a woman in boxing, and how did you get the confidence to march forward in a world where you're the minority?
You know, I knew going in that it was a male-dominated sport. So for me, it was just about, I knew that I would only be boxing women as far as the sport was concerned. I knew that women only boxed for 2-minute rounds. I knew that there were certain aspects of the sport that pertain to us versus men. Now, all of the weight divisions are the same. But I'll say this, the difficult part about it is that women work very, very hard. I mean, we train hard, I think at times we train harder than men. And for, you know, we have better shows than men do on a lot of occasions. Like when you go to a women's show, we are boxing, we are brawling, we are hitting hard, we are knocking heads the entire time. And you can't get that kind of action from men's cards on occasion. However, we don't get paid nearly the same as men do. And so what you have to go in understanding is that I do this because I really love it. I have a goal. I want to win this title. it is not for, I can't expect that it is going to be, I'm going to get as paid as much as Mike Tyson or Mayweather or anyone like that when I win a title, but I'm doing it for me. And so I think that I've gotten a lot out of, you know, winning my title and even just being a boxer. I have a legacy to leave my children and my grandchildren. And so I feel like I've accomplished a lot, but yeah, there are some, you know, things that are different.
That's beautiful. This reminds me of a quote from one of the best female grandmasters in chess. Her name's Yifan Ho, and I don't remember the exact words, but something along the lines of, I play chess for myself, no one else. And it just really meant so much to me. I think a lot of times there's so much pressure from other people too that you feel, but to remember you're doing it for yourself.
Exactly. That is so true. From the many character attributes, toughness, confidence, focus, commitment, etc., that you have built up and made you successful in boxing, what is the top attribute that means the most to you?
The top attribute that means so much to me, I think that boxing saved my life in a lot of ways. I came out, when I started boxing, I didn't have nearly the amount of confidence in myself, or I would even say, I've always had a certain amount of charisma, you know, that was hiding because of what I had gone through in my life, and I had kind of suppressed it. But I was really introverted to a level that had gone way in because of how I grew up. So my confidence was way, way down. As a mother, I was starting to learn how to, I was always a mama bear, this protector, but I was starting to realize how much of an impact my success at this sport was going toward my children. So being able to create, you know, this role model in myself that I could give to my children, that's worth more than gold. I like more than any money in the world. So having that to project onto my children, to make them proud of me, to let them see that I am special and, you know, out of the ordinary and extraordinary and all those things. And it also gave them a sense of, you know, charisma and personality, all of those things that I think that we need to succeed in this world. So the attributes, I can sit here and give interviews like this, and that's really important to me. Giving this interview was super important because, Sarah, you are, honey, you don't even get that you're it. you are the up and coming everything. And wow, like, it is my honor to speak to you because I know that you're going to be so much when you get older. I'm going to be like, girl, I gave her my interview when she was 11 years old. Yep. And yes, I know her. So yeah, I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled. I love doing this. On occasion, I get these phone calls from college students, and I do this maybe about 3 or 4 times a year. And it's wonderful. As long as people are calling on me to do interviews like this, I feel like I've done something for society to, you know, help rise, you know, help it rise.
Oh, Lisa, you're extraordinary, and you know your children and your mentees are so lucky. Just, you know, I think.
Thank you.
Listening to you and hearing, you know, your story and your accomplishments just inspires me to be a better person. And you know, I want everyone to hear your story. It's just amazing, and I think you're just an amazing mentor.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
So you have founded Two Fierce Boxing and Fitness, as well as the nonprofit Capital City Champs. Tell us about those and their mission.
Okay, so, well, I did all of that. During the time that I was boxing, I realized, you know, this was during a time I told you a little bit about leaving my first trainer. And I had gone to several other trainers. And I realized, you know, like my first thought was, there needs to be a boxing gym for women. You know, like, we should have a place where we can go. And I wanted to open the first women's boxing gym. But what I realized was not as many women wanted to box as I thought. Now, a lot of women wanted to box for fitness, and that was great. But I have to say, the first few months that my doors were open, the only people that walked in were men. And then I would have a few personal training clients who I would train, you know, just for physical shape. At the time, I was also working at a country club called, or a social club called, the University Club of Washington. So it was, I started that initially for women so that we could have our own exclusive, you know, boxing club. But yo, like, when you're running a business and you are in the red for 6 months, you say, hey, wait a minute, this is going to be called Two Fierce Boxing and Fitness, and it's for everybody. And I'll tell you this, once the men were there, the women came. And that's the truth. it's really strange how that happened, but women got more interested in boxing.
Oh, wow.
I know.
We're competitive people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's no small feat to build something from the ground up, to take an idea in your head and transform it into a living, breathing, functioning organization. It takes confidence, commitment, and visualization of your goals. Tell us about the challenges you went through to build up your programs and organizations, and how did you build the confidence and stay committed to your goals?
Once I had left, I had closed my gym. A few things had happened. I got remarried. I got divorced from my first husband, and I kind of, you know, left the past in the past. I didn't want to fight over certain things. I don't know if that's too much for this interview, but that's the truth. and so I call it a Tina Turner move. I just said, you know what? I just need to start all over. You have everything, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I moved on. Well, when it came around, I really loved working with children. A lot of what was in my gym were children. I had a summer program in Two Fierce Boxing and Fitness and so forth. And I really missed it. So I decided to start Capital City Champs, which was a boxing and etiquette program. And the idea was to help young people from at-risk young people in the inner city, didn't matter, you know, and even if they weren't at risk, I would also welcome them if they wanted to learn. And so learning boxing, I got a lot of young people who wanted to learn to box, but along with that, I felt like it was an opportunity to teach them etiquette as well. So everything from teaching how to dress for success to how to set a table, formal, informal, how I love other sports like tennis and golf, teaching tennis etiquette. And as you know, Sarah, there is a certain etiquette in golf. You being a golfer, you know these things, right? That young people from different walks of life, they would not even imagine that, you know, there are certain manners that you should have. You know, you can trash talk and do certain things like that, but there are certain levels that you don't go above. So I thought it was really important to teach that. And yes, the reason why it actually closed my program was because I decided at 40 to go back to college and get my degree in English because I wanted to write a book. And so that's what I did. I went back. I went to the UDC, the University of the District of Columbia, and got my degree in English, and I wrote a book. And from there, I was able to go on and go to American University and get my master's in law. So you know, it's never too late.
You certainly proved that.
Thank you.
What do you think are the key skills gained from your boxing career that helped you as a leader and entrepreneur?
I had to learn the hard way how to become my own manager. And there were some mistakes that I had to learn, but what I tried to do was learn from other people's mistakes. When I saw that a manager was treating another boxer like trash, I thought that's something that I cannot have. I could recognize it. And that's not something that I would want to happen to me or do to someone else. So I just developed the skills by paying close attention to what was happening within the sport. And sometimes you have to learn the hard way. You know, like I understand that if you go to certain gyms, they're going to put you in the ring. You know, a person may put you in the ring with someone that they have the intention is to hurt you when you're simply there to spar. And I think what I had to get above was the allowing them to do those sort of things to me, which, yeah, it taught me in life that I have to love myself and not allow people to treat me just the way they feel like they want to do, because they have the what they call the power. I take it from them. I take the license. I'm like, you don't have the license to do that, sir. And you may feel like you're losing a little bit of something at the time, or, you know, it may even be monetary, but I would rather lose that money or lose that than my dignity.
Yeah, no, I love that. I think also for me, I find, and sometimes in girls too, it's so easy for someone to say something to me and I lose my confidence just from something so brief. But to really remember to love yourself and believe in yourself, I think is a really good message.
For sure.
Yeah. I always use this thing, Fiona and Sarah, that I look at it like this, and it never really resonated to me until I really heard somebody that I know that is successful say it. And she says, Lisa, you should remember exactly how you love the last person you love the most and treat yourself like that. And if you do that, you'll be fine.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's I'm going to remember that. I need to remember that.
Me too. Yeah. Throughout your life, you faced a ton of obstacles and broke into fields where there weren't a majority of people like you. From your childhood to the Navy, to boxing, to being an entrepreneur. You've really blazed your own paths when the odds were stacked against you. What advice do you have for young girls who have big dreams they want to pursue?
Oh, my advice to girls who want to set a path for themselves, for their dreams, is to stay the path. Don't divert. Don't, for any reason, for anyone else, take your eye off what you are trying to accomplish. As long as it satisfies you, if it's not hurting you physically, you know, if it's not like hurting someone that you love, like physically, honey, like, look, it is love yourself. Stay focused on exactly what you are trying to do. When it all turns out, those people who are saying that you can't do it, you're nothing, you this and you're that, those same people are going to be sitting there saying it when you're reaching out to receive your awards. So don't worry. And trust me, when you come back, they're going to be the main ones high-fiving you and patting you on the shoulder saying, hey, girl, I knew you could do it. You're the bomb and all of this. Yeah. Keep that in mind, because you got to remember a lot of people, even people who you may think are your friends, are not always for you. So, I mean, that's the hard truth. So stay your path. Understand what your eye is on. Say, look, like my eye was on that title. I gotta finish this. And I would also say this, complete what you set out to do. Because at least if you complete it, you'll feel some sort of success. Not every person that entered into boxing, I have friends to this day, not all of us, very few of us. There are only 550 world title holders, male and female, in this country since boxing started. That is, when you win a title, you're a part of an elite group, you know, to just be able to accomplish that. And then you go on with the rest of your life. So you're not going to do that forever. It's a very short career. So I would say, stay the path. That would be like the main like thing that I would tell any person who wanted to pursue something. That's what I tell my children. And don't fake it. Don't fake. You can't fake it or pretend. You have to be serious. If you're training, you're serious.
Well, Lisa, thank you so much for sharing your story with us. You are so inspirational. I mean, just listening to you makes me want to be a stronger person, a more loving person. So thank you so much with everything you've gone through and the adversity. You are a true trailblazer. So we are so honored to have you today. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sarah, and thank you, Fiona. It was my pleasure, and anytime you ever want me back, I'm happy to come.
This was an interview with Lisa Cohen, world champion boxer and founder of Two Fierce Boxing and Fitness in Washington, D.C., and Capital City Champs, a nonprofit for at-risk children. Lisa's story illustrates the importance of confidence in yourself and belief that it's never too late if you set your mind to it, no matter the adversity and challenges. These same principles apply to chess. Whether it's during a game, to never give up and believing you can win, or to your broader chess goals, like becoming a better player or winning a title, and even more importantly, in your life endeavors. We hope Lisa's story inspired you as much as it inspired us. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on the Chess Girls DC podcast.